This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Block. Today on the program and at NPR.org, we continue our anniversary coverage called Katrina, Where Did the Money Go? We'll be exploring various aspects of the money trail in the aftermath of the storm. We start with the deep personal toll on a street familiar to our listeners.
In the past year, we've been following the residents of Honeysuckle Lane in New Orleans East. A year ago, they heeded the warnings of their mayor, and even though they'd all been through false alarms before, they took some belongings in the car and they left town. While they were away, the wind and rain of Katrina came, and then flooding from storm surges and from broken levees. Honeysuckle Lane is a pair of joined cul-de-sacs ringed with single-family homes and duplexes, 27 dwellings in all. It's on relatively high ground, so the damage here was measured not in lives, but in inches of standing water, in sheets of wallboard rotting with mold, in thousands of dollars of insurance claims. A year later, many of those claims are still pending. Few of the people of Honeysuckle Lane have put their lives back to where they were, and uncertainty is their most common condition. Eric and Joanne Arnaud are now living in a FEMA trailer that's hooked up to their home and parked in the driveway. The house is cleaned and gutted, but the Arnauds have not finished the repairs. That way they've been able to avoid dipping into their savings.
This way all the water actually poured into the house itself,
which caused the mold.
Right.
Eric and Joanne Arnaud say they can't finish work on the house until they know what the Louisiana Recovery Authority is going to pay them.
We applied. We got a number, and that's all we know. We haven't heard anything from them since the day that I went down and I called and spoke to the lady and registered us as homeowners in the area.
Because they're gone, supposedly they're supposed to be gone with the appraised value pre-Katrina. Okay, so if they're lowball you in the beginning.
We don't know that. Please don't say that.
I'm
just saying it. Just stop.
I'm just saying it's a possibility. I'm hoping it won't be, but it's a possibility.
Stop saying it. Just be positive. Just stop saying it.
Well, I'm trying to be positive,
but
I also.
Because you constantly keep saying it. Please, just stop. Okay, thank you. We don't know. We're just waiting.
I'm not too hopeful.
Now, when we say appraised, we also mean assessment, and that
right,
is a...
Right, exactly.
Houses are historically assessed low, especially in New Orleans.
Right. Exactly.
Historically assessed
because,
low.
Because, you know, if you look at the medium homes they're talking about putting up right now is at $100,000. A lot of homes, especially in the lower Ninth Ward, is not going to qualify for half of that. So if you're looking at three quarters in
please
east of New
stop
Orleans...
Saying that.
I'm serious.
Please
I'm,
stop. You don't even know what's going to go on, so please stop talking that, okay?
I'm just saying
just,
this... Just
stop. We just don't know. We really don't. We're just waiting to hear what's going to happen, and...
Eric Arnaud is retired, and Joanne Arnaud was a New Orleans public school teacher. After Katrina, all the teachers were fired. She's now applying for jobs in local charter schools. Two doors down from the Arnauds is Kelly Wilkerson, whom we first interviewed when she'd fled to Baton Rouge. Last October, she complained to us that everything there shuts down after 2 o'clock in the morning. Now, Kelly is also living in a FEMA trailer in front of her house with her son and with her friend Katrina. They both cut hair, and Katrina had a customer when we came in for a tour and an earful of Kelly's complaints.
This is NPR News, you guys. And he want to see how tight it is to live in his trailer. Because they've been following us on Honeysuckle Lane for the past year. This is my son's room, or should I say space. You don't want to see the bathroom.
So these are not happy days?
No. I mean, I try to spend most of my days away from here. Because it's just too tight. You know, she's doing hair. Then when other people come in, you know, you just feel too tight.
In fairness, though, I mean...
This is not
the trailer would not...
FEMA need to be slapped across the face.
But the trailer wouldn't feel quite so cramped if, you know, you weren't here doing hair in the trailer. I mean, you're living, you're working in
there. But when we lived in our house, we did hair.
Okay. I know that we are very excited, but I'm going to ask at this time that everyone would please listen for directions.
On Tuesday, August 15th, Gay Hewitt's youngest daughter started the 7th grade at a new school, McMain.
I need those young people in the middle to break it up.
It's in uptown New Orleans, a long drive from her home on the corner of Honeysuckle Lane, and a long drive from the Army base across the Mississippi, where she's been spending much of her time with a friend. Gay's husband died in his 30s when they were both New Orleans police officers. Despite that loss, despite the demands of raising 5 kids and starting a new career doing medical transcription, she says that she remained trusting and optimistic. But after months out of town post-Katrina, after she and her kids were robbed or menaced time and again in Houston,
I've gotten meaner. My outlook on things has changed a lot. When I first lost my husband, I was more into giving a lot of people the benefit of the doubt. Now, if you get a second chance with me, that's very good right now. I don't trust as much as I used to. I'm very cautious about where my kids go. I'm very clingy. I was clingy from the beginning, but now I'm like Velcro. You can't peel me off.
She also says that her state of mind cuts into her work, so she's earning less from transcription, and she's cashed in her IRA to make ends meet. One of Gay Hewitt's neighbors on Honeysuckle Lane offers this word to sum up his state of mind: confusion. Charles Jenkins is a longshoreman. He says the past year he has spent all his savings and has no money to buy furniture. He and his wife use air mattresses instead. They do live inside their house on Honeysuckle Lane. That's unusual. And he says that's about the only part of his life that is back to normal.
I'm confused about the city itself. It's going to take years for it to come back, but can't allow us to wait that long. They're not really sure what's going to happen out here where we live at. He says it's going to really come back. Sometimes I ride through this neighborhood or going by friend's house that, we hang out sometimes, but nobody's there no more, I don't know what's going to happen, really. I wish it'd come back, but I don't know. And where it's looking right now, it's not. I mean, the shopping centers and stuff, they're not even attempt to do nothing like that.
Not according to Sherman Copeland, a local politician who lives in New Orleans East and represents businesses and homeowner associations there. He says big retailers like Walmart are signing contracts to build on the local mall. Copeland's group retained urban planner Joseph St. Martin, who envisions New Orleans beautified. We met the two men together. First, St. Martin.
Private dollars follow public investment. So with the amount of money that's coming down, Eastern New Orleans stands to become a mecca for the state of Louisiana, or continue to be a mecca for the state of Louisiana, because it was already that mecca before the storm hit.
But look, you're describing the future to me, and you got contracts are being signed and all. Right now, you drive around New Orleans East, you see a tremendous number of homes that are in disrepair, that people cannot live in. The cars have been towed away, that's true. There are street lamps now in the cul-de-sac.
What's the point? You drive around
the
city.
Where are the people? Where are the people?
You drive around the city of New Orleans, 80% of the city was devastated. You drive around Iran or Iraq, you're going to see the same thing. Whenever there's devastation, that's what you see until it's cleaned up.
Right.
Does that mean you stop living, you stop breathing, you stop functioning? No. That's what this plan is.
It's a year. It's a year.
It's a year since it occurred. There are portions of this city that still have not been certified for people to come back home, i.e. Lower Ninth Ward.
Mm-hmm.
So what has it been a year if you can't come back to your home? No, I'm not upset because it's been a year. This is a war zone, and you don't recover in a short period of time.
But there is a huge gap between the future that Copeland and St. Martin foresee and the work in progress that is Honeysuckle Lane. Cynthia Townsend, who was widowed a few months before the storm, stood outside her house with her daughter, Serona Prater. They are believers. They lived through this neighborhood's birth. They can live through its rebirth.
Let me tell you, when we moved here, this house was not there. That house was not there.
This house, they were here, the same people. They were here. These people who live here wasn't there. That lady wasn't there. Judy was here. This house wasn't even there. It was just trees.
So we watched place that was basically wilderness grow up into a nice big community.
Where this house was, that was our trail to go catch the bus to go to school, me and my brother.
They would walk through the woods because it was a shortcut.
But a neighborhood means more than homeowners or even a Walmart. There used to be a community hospital nearby with more than 300 beds and more than 1,000 jobs. Ever since Katrina, Methodist Hospital has been closed. The company that owns it, Universal Health Services, shows no sign of reopening it and won't comment on Methodist's future. Its campus, barely a mile from Honeysuckle Lane, is vacant and silent, save for the jangle of the lanyard against a flagpole. Fred Young used to run the hospital. We visited the Methodist grounds with Mr. Young and with Dr. Donald Palmisano, a surgeon who practiced here for decades. I asked Fred Young how soon there could be a hospital functioning here once again.
We started tomorrow and we had all the money in the world, 12 to 18 months.
That's
my guess.
That's 2 to 2.5 years of New Orleans East without a hospital.
Correct.
Well, Dr. Thomas, I know, honestly, a young surgeon asks you, what's your advice? You've got a hospital here that could be ready to go with all the money in the world in a year to a year and a half. Does somebody hang in to be a surgeon in New Orleans East, or do you relocate to Baton Rouge or Houston at this stage?
Well, most young surgeons aren't going to be able to afford to wait a year and a half for a facility. They have current obligations, have children in school, their home may have been destroyed. And so as they regroup and decide where should we buy a home, where should we rebuild our home, and as you see the local and state politics, the debate that goes on in the rebuilding, they get very frustrated and believe there's a lack of leadership and say, let me take this offer in Texas, let me take this offer in Georgia. And it's a sad statement, but we're losing many, many of our young doctors, as well as the older doctors who were near retirement, and they say, we're just going to go ahead and retire and try to do some teaching somewhere.
Judy Tallman of Honeysuckle Lane used to be an administrator at Methodist. She's taken her work for the hospital company Universal with her. She telecommutes from Las Vegas, where her grown children live. She has bought a place there with her insurance money and put the duplex on Honeysuckle up for sale. She's asking $56,000, and she says that is half of its pre-Katrina value. Judy Tallman says she's learned that enduring relationships are more important than lost property.
When I left that Saturday, the 27th of August, with everybody who was on the road, and it was... We had done it so many times before, and this time I put 3 changes of clothes in my car and a couple pictures and my important papers and just drove out of town thinking I would be back in 3 days. So basically everything that was left behind was lost. And the funny thing is, I don't miss any of it. I don't miss any of it. I miss the people.
Over the past year, the people who live on Honeysuckle Lane have reassessed their values, material and moral. A year later, there are some bright spots. Literally, the street lamps work at night. Some shops, a motel, and one nearby gas station have reopened. But still, no phone service. Most homes are still in need of some repair, many careers too. Post-Katrina construction costs are way up, and pre-Katrina insurance levels don't do the job. So a year after the levees broke and the people of Honeysuckle Lane drove off to uncertain futures, they talk more about the question marks that still hang over their lives than about the answers that they've settled on.
You can learn more about the residents of Honeysuckle Lane at our website, npr.org.